Thank you.
It's a different book. This is, it looks like prose, and I'll let people decide whether it's prose, poetry, whatever. But this is a whole book of something called Bodies and Soul, musical memoirs. And this book was evoked by all of the music that goes on around us from the time that we're born. We're bombarded with songs. And music, I think, more than anything else, is evocative of particular moments. If you could get all of the tunes you've heard or picked up either consciously or subconsciously from the time you were born until it's time to leave, like someone who's drowning, you know, they tell the stories about how their whole life passes before them. And I think songs can really pin a moment down. You snap on the radio, you hear Little Anthony and the Imperials or Martha and the Vandellas or something, and you say, oh, yeah, I remember what I was doing when that came out. I'd just been fired, and I was looking for, you know, that kind of thing. So this is a whole book of that sort of evocation. The problem with writing something like that is that I don't believe in writing mysterious, inaccessible stuff. I like to communicate, and I like for, theoretically, I'd like anybody just to be able to pick up one of my books and get into it, you know, rather than someone who specializes in reading literature. And so I had to write these things, even though in many ways they were personal, so that other people could slip into them. This is the kind of thing I mean. I don't know if you're, how many people here know who Spike Jones is or was? Oh, okay, all right, I don't have to explain too much. Spike Jones used to really parody and lampoon and tear things apart musically. And there's very little instance of parody in our lives, in American lives now. What passes for parody in our time, or in our culture anyway, I've noticed, tends to be the kind of thing that the National Lampoon does, or that Saturday Night Live does, or shows like that. And they don't parody life. They parody public events or other television shows or movies, or, you know, it's public things that are being parodied. And the implication, of course, is that there is no life to be parodied. But back in those days, Spike Jones would just take anything. And he took this old song, Cocktails for Two, which was very staid kind of thing from the 30s, in some secluded rendezvous, you know, that kind of thing. And Spike would just tear him apart. And his kids, we love that stuff. And this is when I first got on to Spike Jones in 1946. Cocktails for Two, Spike Jones and His City Slickers, 1946. Is a fact, Bookus told me that night as he stared through the windshield at the foggy highway ahead and sucked on the butt end of a Camel. When I was a kid, I was crazy about bullshit. Fatty Arbuckle, Andy Gump, Bob Steele, Butterbeans and Susie, Step and Fetch It, Tarzan, Crazy Cat and all like that. You too young to know about it, but we couldn't get enough of that stuff, the same as you can't get enough of this Spike Jones. Our destination, Chicago. That's right, Chicago, Illinois, as Bookus called it. My mother, for some forgotten reason, had packed my toothbrush, a sweater, some underwear, pajamas, fresh breeches, and funny books, and turned me loose with Bookus McGee. With his razor-lined mustache, army-issue slacks, scuffed brown zip-up leather jacket, and greasy broad-brimmed hat, Bookus looked pretty much like the colored version of every second-string villain you've ever beheld in a 1940s B-movie. Except we didn't rate them that way then. To us, they were all just pictures. Picture us hunched up in that all but rusted out humpback V8 Ford with the radio playing more static than fade. What Bookus was doing was hauling a load of bootleg whiskey he had distilled and bottled himself, hauling it across southern Michigan to northern Illinois. If any cop had stopped us, it would have been curtains for Bookus, and no telling what might have happened to me. Naturally, I didn't know that then. All I knew was we were on a weekend trip to visit an old buddy of his who owned a gas station way out in the land of California, sweet home, Chicago. Chicago, as in boom chicka, Chicago. And go, we did. Chugging us along, cargo and all, was Bookus with his Camels, Bookus with his spearmint gum, Booker's with his toothpicks. Booker's with his facial scars from a car crash of years ago that had gotten him off hooch, his own and anybody else's, except to sell. There was also Booker's who used to sing blues and play the guitar. Booker's with his army stories and Booker's with his dreams. Yeah, he kept saying, all kids love bullshit. And it was true. For I loved Booker's with his scary tales of what had gone on before I was born and his way of selling futures and clinks and horns going, ooga, ooga. I fall back into the back seat of that car to grab a nap and look at how it all started out for me. A curious little sub-American boy recalling with perfect clarity the sound of Booker's Mississippi voice saying, that's right, it used to be all kids love bullshit. Now commence to find out, grown people like it too. That's all you get nowadays is more and more bullshit. You mark my words, the day's coming when bullshit will rule this very world. Ha, ha, ha.